This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, ready to go? Let's go.
We're ready.
Welcome. Bum, bum, bum. Everybody go Savo.
Can we do
boom,
that?
Boom, boom, let me hear say Savo. All together now. I'll do it again. Boom, 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 let me hear say Savo.
Savo. Savo.
That's got to be reintroduced. Come on.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he'd lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Beautiful ball by McGinn. And it's in the centre for Abraham to score. El Ghazi teeing it up. And Aston Villa lead after 7 minutes. 22nd league goal of the season for Tammy Abraham, and they don't come much easier than that.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and joining me for a bonus listener question episode, Mr. Dan Rogers from thevillaunderground.com.
Hello.
Welcome. And Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello.
Making his way from all away from the Upper Holt.
Nosebleed
Welcome.
Territory.
So, 60, what was it, 68 was the last show. If you're listening to the My Old Man Said podcast for the first time, this isn't our regular show. This is a little extra one we're slipping in this week because we're high on life, 5 wins on the trot.
Oh, yes.
We just want to keep talking about this team at the moment. And we've fielded a few questions, and to be honest, yet again, Instagram has come up the best. High level of intelligence, no squirrel brains on Instagram. But we'll kick off for one from the Facebook group, the Mad Few Facebook group. We'll keep this one short because it's an old chestnut. Richard Palmer says, what are your thoughts on Villa potentially falling foul of financial fair play? Now, he's obviously, in the context of this, Blues have already been hit with a 9-point reduction, and there's been a few scare articles saying that Derby, Villa are next. I think there's another team I can't remember off the top of my head. Are you pooing your pants, Dan Rogers, about financial fair play?
Nope. I think worst case scenario. Yeah, look, perhaps taking the Blues at the moment isn't the best example, but I thought that they've got off lightly, considering that not only did they fail FFP, but actually they
took the piss.
Took the absolute piss. So, and I think that we're nowhere near that we were just chronically managed.
Mismanaged by Chinese people.
Well, yeah, we'll get to them later, I'm sure. What I would say about Villa is that at least we've got Perslow, and he's outwardly confident and was involved in this whole incomprehensible FFP thing from the beginning. So if anyone can creatively account for us, I think it'll be...
Cook the books. Basically, first, we're not going to get hit now. And we have a potential solution now. We didn't have this before. And that is, there was an A plan, there's a B plan, and the A plan's back in play, and that's getting fucking promoted. So that's back on the desk. And then the B plan, I think, was shipping out Grealish to level up the books a little bit, and probably
amongst others.
Amongst others, exactly. So we're not even going to think about that now. We are putting our money on promotion at the moment.
And also, unlike the Blues as the example, already since the new owners have come in, they're, unlike what the Blues owners did, we've shown willing to turn the ship around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also,
fuck this, let's just spend a load more money.
And also, Blues just never, ever had the option of promotion. Which would have cured their problems as well, probably. Anyway, moving on to Benjamin in my net. Is that right? 01 from Instagram. So, you guys think that we had a playoff final loss hangover this season? I'm assuming he's attributing that to the dodgy start of this season. What do you think, Bud?
On the field, a little bit. Bruce had looked fatigued by about the Wolves game, didn't he? He was already starting to feel the stress of everything going on in his personal life. And I think some of his decisions from the word go were a bit off, you know, with Elphick, Steer being loaned out, Twanzabi at right back, amongst other things, no cover. The team themselves, I think, possibly it's hard to gauge because they actually started the season pretty well. Off the field, I'd definitely say I think the fans did, because the patience of our supporters at the best of times isn't the best.
Yeah,
I think everyone, as soon as the new Grealish was staying, was like, "Well, Grealish is staying. Oh, we're gonna blow everybody away."
Yeah, and then he got injured.
And then when Abraham arrived as well, it was like, "Well, we've got Grealish and Abraham. We're gonna flatten this league."
Yeah, because I think as well as the playoff loss hangover, there was the administration loss hangover as well. Which I mean, it's a minor miracle how we dug ourselves out that so quickly and found actually two owners that actually had substantial money. I mean, this is kind of a bit of a miracle, and. It's now, it's now just jotted down in a paragraph in the history of Villa, but it's actually quite a substantial turnaround, if you ask me.
I mean, in the context of a hangover, that is one almighty fucking headache, isn't it? When you actually
it's like a 3-day hangover,
all into a cauldron of things not to happen to a football club that wants to put itself in a position to get promoted. Those are all of the tick boxes you'd have.
Especially when the new owners only came, it was about a week before the season. It was the day of that West Ham friendly, wasn't it? So they only had about 7 days or so before the season started.
What a hangover that is. I mean, the threat of administration, you've suspended your CEO, you're looking at having to ship out Grealish on the cheap, you can't pay the tax, you should have gone up. Oh my God. You're facing up to all that stuff, and against that backdrop of all the things that were going on with Bruce anyway, who I still think probably, if things had been different, would probably have been sacked anyway after the Fulham game.
Ooh. Yeah,
or should have walked.
Or would have walked, or But I thought it all combined to give us a horrible hangover.
So if we do get promoted this season, the whole story will start. You have to look at what we've just been talking about there, and it will be classed as some achievement in terms of turning it all around. Right, next question. Carl Beasley says, do you think it was a blessing in disguise not getting promoted last season? Well, it's one of those hypothetical questions that you want to get promoted, but then we'd still have old Keith Wynas, Dr. Tony and Bruce.
I think it would be scary to think what we might have done in the close season had we got promoted.
Yeah.
We could be in a horrific mess.
And oblivious to it as well, as we were really a few days before it broke into the press, how desperate our financial situation was.
There's a lot of Villa fans on social media who were so far up Dr. Tony and Keith Wynas's ass on Twitter that they'd probably still be happy and none the wiser. But I must admit, I'm happier now with this setup we've got now, because it's chalk night and day difference. I mean, I think they're a bit more, they were more personable, let's say Wynas and Dr. Tony on Twitter, but Keith Wynas in person. But the people we have running the club now and all the various people I've met linked to that, it's a lot more business first.
Well, I'll take accountable over personable any day, I think.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are here to get a job done.
Mm.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at what Fulham did, and they were so much better than us in that playoff final. And how you look at the fist of what they've made of it. They've pissed, was it 120 million up the wall?
They didn't have faith in what they had. I think what
they were a good side.
What they had was enough to finish mid-table. For example, Wolves, they didn't make massive tweaks. They just knew they had a way of playing that would eliminate, let's say, the bottom eight or so teams. Because let's face it, the lower order of the Premier League is nothing, no great shakes. I mean, you look at Villa a month ago, 6 weeks ago, all the fans, you know, on social media go, oh, this squad's shit, it's crap, Smith needs his own men, he needs his own players, oh, blah, blah, this. And this squad is not shit, and we've never said it's shit. We've stood by that it was the fault of the management staff for not getting it right at that point in time. And also, obviously, they were missing key players that would jolt everything into life. This squad was not shit.
Well, we put six past the so-called best defence in the league. We put seven past Derby.
Exactly. So this brings me to the point of, you know, people say, it's a waste of time getting promoted this season even.
Nonsense.
That's what they were saying.
Nonsense.
Because, you know, this team, the squad's crap, blah, blah, blah. Well, if hypothetically we get promoted and we'll keep Grealish if we get promoted, that's pretty much certain. We've got a good shout at keeping Mings, Courtney House. So you've got those players that elevate us, and they're the reason why, you know, we're getting promoted if we got promoted. Now, we haven't just beaten our playoff rivals. We've absolutely smashed them. We've done Derby 7-0 in aggregate. We've done Middlesbrough 6-0 in aggregate. So that suggests if we get up there, Derby's, your Middlesbrough's are as good as, you know, some of the Huddersfields and, you know, Fulham as they are now. So I think we'd set apart, you know, we'd take them apart, some of these teams in the lower echelons of the Premier League. It's just, you know, we'd obviously need something else to start troubling mid-table upwards. But we're not that far off. I mean, obviously, we're going to have a striker issue. Obviously, Abraham's going. But, you know, Abraham needs three chances to score one. So he's not the finished article. And this team is creating a hell of a lot more chances. So if you've got a half-decent striker, you know, he's going to put them away. Yeah. So if we can keep Mings, he's Premier League class. Courtney House, probably Chester, McGinn, Grealish.
I think the Premier League would probably suit someone like Al Ghazi a little bit better, where it's not quite so physical as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can spend your money on, you know, the right wing replacing Adoma, and Andre Green will be a, you know, certainly a player, you know, if for the very least a squad player that can rotate in and out, but probably want to freshen up in terms of Adoma. But, and you know, maybe we've got a right back coming in. Do we need another left back? Probably. But we're not that far away from having a team that should stay in the league if we stick to our principles of playing how Smith's got us playing, because that's what Fulham didn't do. Fulham were impressive as hell. They blitzed through this league once they got their shit together and got their key players back fit. You know, that when they had to take on the top six in consecutive weeks, and they beat five of them and drew against one. I think it was Bristol City they drew against. But yeah, they dismantled some of the teams. So they were good enough, but they just replaced the whole team, essentially.
Well, they dug up the whole... They literally laid the perfect pitch and dug it up, didn't they? And they, yeah, they'd got the manager at a philosophy that seemed to work. And you know, there was that criticism directly at us after the playoff final that, you know, football won on the day, that was hard to take.
Yeah.
But justified.
Back in the day, like your Forest got promoted from the second tier, won the league next season. Watford got up high. Leicester obviously got promoted and then had a season of establishing themselves and then won the Premier League the next season. If you've got a way of winning, a winning way, then that tends to transcend into the next tier up, because you're undoubtedly playing half the league, which morale's down because they've just had a shitty season. Mm. And unless they've completely transformed their team and fortunes, pretty much they'll be in the same boat. So Fulham just trying to rebuild something was a bit bizarre. And, you know, it's paid out, as the league table has shown, that it wasn't the right way to go. This idea that you've just got to spend money for the sake of being in the Premier League because it's in your bank account doesn't always play out. Anyway, next question. J. Hooch, 86, speaking of Fulham, says, will I need sun cream again for our upcoming Wembley trip? Don't want to get burnt. Well, we're assuming we're going to Wembley. We're not yet. There's a couple of good weeks before we can start boasting about that.
But after those 2 weeks are up, you will better get your VillaUnderground.com branded sun cream from the store.
And sun oil.
Yes,
just
sun
for
oil.
For that barbecue look. That glycerin barbecue muscle look. Craig 83 asks, would you prefer to win some silverware or promotion?
Hate to piss on your parade, Craig, but you get a trophy if you win the playoffs.
That's the beauty of the playoffs. There's only one beauty, and that covers everything.
I mean, you don't go to a playoff final to get a trophy. I don't think the players are asked about the medal. They're thinking bonus.
Also, when you find yourself in April, knocked out of all the cups, impossible to win the title, then promotion's your only bet, so you might as well go for it. And as we said, you do get a trophy for that, so it's win-win, silverware and promotion. Sturgy Boy asks, and a very good question this is, imagine the scene. Leeds versus Villa. Shall we go for Leeds? Yeah, let's go for Leeds. Playoff final. It's drawing, and there's a Villa win a penalty in injury time to Ooh. Win the match at
Oh, my
Wembley.
Toes are curling.
But unfortunately, Tammy Abraham is already off, injured, and out for the season next year, so he'll never play for Chelsea. Who takes the penalty? That wasn't in his question, I just added that. Who takes the penalty? Good question.
Good question.
Jed Steer, I think. Just goal kick it, Jed, as hard as you can, straight at his head.
McGinn.
Oh, he's going to get sent off in the final, so he's not going to be on the pitch.
I think it's going to be full redemption, Glenn Whelan. It'll be Preston. Scenes of Preston will ebb away as he places the football.
Well, the fact that anyone who manned up to take that penalty makes this an interesting question if we address it seriously. Was McGinn on the pitch at that stage? Grealish was on the pitch.
Yeah, I remember Grealish getting a bit of a hammering, didn't he, online for not stepping up to the plate?
And who's the captain now? Mr. Grealish. So I think he would take it and he would miss.
Nah, he'd do a little chip, wouldn't he? He'd do a Dwight Jordan.
All the star players always miss. The star players always miss. Like
Ronaldo always does.
Baggio.
Zico in the World Cups going back.
And Chris Waddle.
Chris Waddle. Chris Waddle was a good player, but you know what I'm talking about. The cream. It was only Pirlo that was like just defied the football gods on that front.
What a human being he is.
With his little dinky chip over Joe Hart. But he did it on purpose just because Hart was being such, thinking he was such a boy at the start of those kicks where he's jumping around, you know, beating his chest and all that kind of stuff, that Pirlo decided, I'm going to take you down a few levels. And he did exactly that.
Ended his career.
He did, didn't he? He just fucked his career totally.
And off Joe went to West Ham or wherever it was he went.
I think via Italy, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Went to Torino, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, back to Wembley.
So anyway, this will be the scene will be the Micah Richards substitution.
What about Mings? Do you think Mings will say...
He'd smash a good ball, wouldn't he?
And Dan, we're being serious now, so...
Oh, okay.
My serious answer is McGinn. No keeper would dare getting in the way of that. He'd rip the net off.
Who else is in the middle? I think Hourihan. Was he on the pitch?
Hourihan hits a good ball, doesn't he? Yeah.
Has he got the balls? I think he's just got the technique to get him out of whatever his mental.
El Mohammedy could swing one down the line and curl it back in.
So you'd go McGinn, Hourihan, and then maybe Grealish third choice.
Or bring Codger off the bench, especially.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Not with that haircut.
I'd go McGinn.
Okay, so we'll go McGinn on that one.
I think a pressure penalty. I think I fancy him to break the back of the net.
And you know full well, just to watch him celebrate with his arms flapping around would be brilliant.
Like one of those inflatable things.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Andrew Rankin asks from Instagram, if we lost the playoff final again... Again, in May, how would you compare the season as a whole to 17-18? Well, I think what we've just mentioned at the top of the show about how the club on and off the field was just...
disarray.
In disarray. Then I think this season has been certainly more fun than last season.
Fun?
Well, you know.
Check the dictionary definition of...
Look at some of the games. I'm talking about once Smith took over. The first lot of performances against Derby and Middlesbrough, both of them, watching them, you're just thinking, hey, we're onto something here. Then obviously it didn't pan out immediately. But when this phase of games came along again, I mean, that Derby game at home at Villa Park was something else. Mm. And obviously, you know, the Circus of the Forest 5-5.
And a whole lot of 2-2s. Mm.
But we've kept it going until the end. And at the end, whether you finish third or fourth or sixth, it doesn't matter. You're in the playoffs and away you go. But if we failed in the final, would it be a failure? As we've said before, we don't fear anybody now.
I think anybody coming up against Villa with the players we've got and the way we're playing and the momentum, the belief, etc., no one's going to want to play us.
But then again, Leeds are a team, like a proper team. If you know what I mean.
I think, do you know what? So are we though at the moment.
Yeah. But I think if we ended up against Leeds, I think Leeds would be potentially deflated because after this weekend, I think they're looking back at the automatics now and they're thinking, this is how we want to get promoted.
Yeah, and we discussed it last pod about this whole Bielsa ball thing. It's, will they run their course?
Mm. I mean, just adding my being, I suppose, and pulling it around to Andrew's question is that I think the two seasons have been very different. I think there have been similar mistakes made. But I think against the backdrop of where we were at the beginning of the season, I think it's remarkable that, having such a dip in form when we did, over those 15 games, two wins, I think to have dredged ourselves into a position where we're competing for the playoffs is overall a positive when we could be sat here discussing having nothing to do for the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this time last season, we were discussing the frustration of probably losing out on automatic, but knowing full well we were going to be probably in fourth.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think this year, unlike last season, there's been lots of differences. Last year, there was a lot of games where we kind of got the job done a lot of the time, but we weren't very entertaining. We were a very workmanlike team. This year, we are like the neutral's delight. It's very entertaining. There's been lots of singular moments. You know, if you think about the McGinn goal, the Grealish one, the Hutton one, there's been a lot of moments that will actually live in the memory for a long time to come.
I wish I could get an ice cream or something called Neutral's Delight. That sounds...
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hmm, what is that flavour? It's very neutral.
It leaks goals.
Delights me.
Bottom of the cone leaks, but
romantically
it's delicious.
Nourishes me as well.
Delicious at the top.
Yeah, we've had some great, some really good sort of moments this year. Whereas actually last season, there were one or two spectacular goals or like last minute winners and things like that. Well, actually, there's been quite a few moments. You know, like the Sheffield United comeback and the Forest game and things like that are just mental. Even like the whole Blues away game with the Grealish, little moments like that.
Yeah, but to be honest, these five wins have certainly managed to put a bit more of a gloss on the season that we can actually have this conversation. But ultimately, when you get in the playoff final, it's kind of do or die. And in terms of what Villa will be next season, if they're still in the championship, if they're still in the championship, we're getting stripped down to a different level of team. And the fact that we've got this chance to, what is like one last chance to divert that fate. So hopefully we can take it. Mike Bravo, 93, asks, what would be a realistic finishing expectation of a first season back in the Premier League?
Calm down, Mike.
Well, I think I've kind of implied if we kept Mings, Grealish, McGinn because we get promoted, then we should be able to see off a lot of the dross in the Championship, as long as we make two or three decent additions, a bit more extra firepower.
Well, don't do a Fulham. Huddersfield's model has been retain as much as possible of that money that you go up with, and don't cripple yourself. And I suppose if you want to get into that mix of teams that can beat the bottom four, five, six, and get yourself into that middle mix, don't you? Initially.
Yeah, but if you've got a clear philosophy, and if Smith, invests in himself and goes for it, because people start to play with fear when they get promoted, and they play with fear. They don't really believe in themselves because they're so desperate to survive. Mm. But you look at Wolves, you look at Leicester, no fear. And that's what Villa, because Villa, we're meant to be a big team. I mean, we are, and that we should start immediately when we set foot in the Premier League. We start playing like that with that refreshed attitude, because we know what the dark side looks like now, and we don't want to be going back there.
Well, we lost our way terribly, didn't we, as a club, in the sense that we absolutely were set up not to lose football games. And then when we became not very good at that either, we could neither win nor compete in games, and it just became it was our slow trajectory towards relegation in the end.
As Ron Atkinson once said, Aston Villa is a team that needs a bit of glitter in it, and that this pathetic attempt at the Villa engine of defining a Villa ethos, but there needs to be one, and that's really to have no fear. I always quite like Spurs's is it Dare to Dream?
Yeah,
that kind of just this not being scared and not kind of bottling it. Well, Spurs bottling it.
Oh, the irony!
Oh, the irony! Dare to dream. Oh, the irony! Keep dreaming, boys. But no, Villa should. Prepared would have been a decent. What about prepared? That sounds like that's a good motto for a club.
That could work.
Yeah, that
historically.
Could work. Yeah, that could work. Prepared. I don't know if anybody had that idea in the marketing department, but maybe it's something they should look at. Anyway, let's move on.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
While Mike Bravo was getting a bit optimistic there, Radchris92 goes back to the pessimism. Who leaves if we don't go up?
Everyone.
Everybody. All of the leaves. Above.
Anybody good? Put it that way, Rad. Chris Rad. Anybody good?
In reality, Grealish probably, or almost definitely, all your lone players.
I think McGinn. The, Mings fours. For sure.
McGinn Mings. You might get another year out of.
Who?
McGinn.
I thought you said Mings. Mings, no way.
No, no chance.
McGinn, I don't know.
I would have thought a Premier League club would have probably looked at the price tag Villa would stick on him and go, do you know what? We'll bide our time there a little bit.
But what's that going to be? Because if he wants a move, somebody's offering him double his... Somebody could double McGinn's wages like that, no problem.
Well, and I think the other issue is the Villa. If we were to stay down there, it's what revenue do we need to bring in? I think that'll
exactly.
Be that will be the deal breaker. It won't be like last season with Grealish.
And even with the position of having to clear the wage bill, you know, you look at the likes of Jedinak, who's going to be on big money, Whelan, Hutton will go, Elphick will go, Chester might
well
have
they've
go.
Gone no they've I mean yeah. Elphick's finished, Jedinak's finished, Whelan's finished, they're all gone, so that's not a problem, but they'll still need to sell a few of the jewels for sure, and those jewels will see, I mean, you know, we've been getting players basically saying, look, come to us. We're Aston Villa. You know, we're not sticking around in the Championship. You know, we're going to be, we'll get up this season. Yeah. Poor old James Chester.
He's been on a promise for a few years now, hasn't he? Just one more.
Just one more. Bjarnason gave up the Champions League under the premise of, give me 6 months.
Yeah, Bjarnason doesn't know what he's doing, basically. Poor chap. No. But Chester, you know, he was like, yeah. We'll be straight up. God, I was sitting on the bench at the Baggies, and now I'm going to be like starter for Villa in the Premier League in a season. Yeah, well, didn't quite pan out, did it, old Chessy? Now you're not even in the top three or four centre-backs at the club.
You must be wondering where the hell that happened, by the way.
Staggering, isn't it? Having watched it in January, he's thinking, I can't even get in the team.
He's made to play on one leg for 6 months, and then the fucking bastards replace him with three. Only the Villa.
Sorry, James. You've got an under-23 game tonight at Bescot.
Jess Marshall says, if we lost Grealish this summer, do you think Callum O'Hare is good enough to come in for him?
Yes, Carlisle United's up and coming, free flowing. No.
Next question.
Grealish has taken a few seasons to get to this point, and he's still not exactly where you'd want him to be, calling him a superstar yet. But he's getting there. And O'Hare, you know, even if he's got it in his locker, it'll take 3 seasons or so to get anywhere near where Grealish is now. Right. Willis Morris, 26. Bit of a two-parter, this. What happened to Jedinak's Jungle? Well, we used to enjoy writing Jedinak's Jungle.
Did we?
Because it... Well, it was what you call creative writing.
Yes, that's what it was.
And it was funny.
It was.
I mean, some people are thinking, you know, just from doing a voice of an Aussie. I mean, it's obviously done like that on purpose. Thinking, people trying to be... But the humour was not in the accent, the humour or the voice. The humour's in what he's saying. And some of it was comic gold. So go fuck yourself, people. Sorry, no, that's the Jedinak haters. Yeah. But no, a lot of it's down to time. It already takes too much time. And so we just wanted to strip things down a bit just to make life a bit easier, because I would love to put all kinds of bells and whistles on this show.
We might give him a send-off, though, when he leaves in the summer. Yeah.
People who get it, get it.
And people that don't need to.
I kind of like the Remy Gard, the Randy Lerner sketches and stuff. It was just to do something a bit different.
And Negatron had its moments as well.
But to be honest, I'd love to do a podcast that talks about other things rather than just football. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Next question. Oh, sorry, this is Willis Moore part two. What is it about Bjarnason that Smith doesn't trust?
He's grumpy.
Well, you just have to look at the Icelandic banking system to know not to trust anyone from Iceland. It was an absolute disaster, so he shouldn't be trusted with anything at all.
I don't know. I still like Bjarnason, but he'll always pop up and have a chance. There's a potential goal in him, I think, most of the time, if he's...
Is it because he's like a 6 out of 10 and you just don't get a 7 or 8 out of 10 out of him very often?
You never get the wow factor from him, do you? He's always just kind of working.
Apart from the goal against Wolves.
But I like the way you described that, though, that he came on and angrily struck it into the net because he hadn't been picked.
And then buggered off down the tunnel afterwards.
He came on angrily, beat four men and then blasted it.
Just fucking walked off pretty much.
But it's in him. But he has been kind of messy. It's like one of those players that, like Sean Maloney, who had it, but the manager just never aligned for him. I mean, like Sean Maloney, when you were screaming out for him to play alongside John Carew, little and large, both technically really good. And Martin O'Neill finally had a hallelujah moment, put them together against Chelsea, and Maloney scored two in the first half. It was happy days. He was on for his hat trick. And then that fucking referee sent off Zach Knight for foul on Shevchenko. Shevchenko fucking dived or
so
whatever.
It's just a 4-4 game.
Yeah, it wasn't a penalty.
At Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, it was at Stamford Bridge. And it was a game we would have won, and then the referee fucked us, and Zach Knight got sent off. And O'Neill, first thing he did was take Maloney off and put on, obviously, another centre-back. And that was it, basically. Maloney basically fucked off after that. But that would have been potentially the start of something amazing, because he was a good player. And you just thought, actually, him and John Carew is... Because Martin O'Neill always thought his players should be physical. And, you know, that's why he got rid of Stephen Davis as well. He just thought he was too lightweight for the midfield, just because he didn't have a way of playing that allows players that are technically good that maybe aren't, like big bruisers, to kind of chip in. But he still went for Maloney, I think, because Maloney was cheap for $1 million. But that was a missed opportunity. And it's a bit like that with Bjarnason, when Bruce should have played him going back to last season, but he kept going for Jedinak, and then he played them in the wrong way round. Wrong combinations and the wrong way round, when Bjarnason should have been in the game before, and Jedinak should have been in that snow game against Bolton when we needed more of a physical presence.
He just never got the run of games, did he? And I think he's one of those players that needs a consistent run of football, and he's not going to get it with the players we've got.
And also, he kind of came without a real position that was like nailed, you know, his colours were nailed to the mast of it. So it happens, like utility players, they never... It's okay, they're good to have in the squad because they can cover X, Y, Z position, but in terms of being a starter, it's hard for them to solidify a position because it's not their specialist position. But I think Smith wanted him in initially. He was picking him in there because I think he thought he was a bit more mobile for the system he wanted to play, because he didn't really want to play an out and out DM.
No.
And Glenn Whelan has basically transformed into something we've never seen before while he's been at Villa, and actually brings a great balance to the team. And I think he's kind of playing the role that perhaps Smith would have wanted Bjarnason to play, but I don't think Bjarnason's got that snap and timing.
No, he certainly doesn't have the tempo, does he, to play to keep up with McGinn and Grealish?
Well, he doesn't read the game as much, I don't think.
No.
Right, moving on. Courty is on fire. Will Nyland or Kalinic have a spot next year on the bench?
Kalinic is the long-term future, I think, for the fee we've paid.
And also, he was Smith's man. Nyland obviously wasn't. As Max Stokes said on the last show, he reckons Nyland's going to be off, and I think I agree with that.
Yeah, I can't see a future there, unless something drastic happens.
Because you're talking about two keepers that are their international number ones, and they're going to be wanting to play regularly. And, you know, as I suggested on the previous show, maybe they'll back themselves to be number one at Villa, but that's not going to get you past January, because one of them's going to lose out. and I think Smith would prefer to go with Kelenic. Next question. Mark W. Houston asks, what did you think of Gary Thompson on AVTV?
Is AVTV still a thing?
Yeah, apparently so. I thought they'd closed it down after all the mishaps at the start of the season.
Banned from their own studio, didn't they?
Well, in the last Aston Villa fan consultation group meeting, one of the things I did say, can you please turn up Tony Daly's microphone? And apparently people could hear him against Blackburn Rovers. So in terms of the greatest achievements of the last 10 years for myself, in my personal life, that would probably rank up there.
It's all baby steps in the right direction, Dave.
Gary Thompson, I haven't heard him on AVTV, to be honest. Actually, I asked Mark what he thought of Gary Thompson, and he gave him the thumbs up.
Okay.
Gary was at the game, so it's interesting how they decide who gets the mic, so to speak. Should have given it to George Boateng. Right, Matt Ashcroft, 04, asks, if we don't go up, does FFP still apply? Well, of course it does.
It always applies.
It applies more if we stay in the league. The solution to FFP is to get promoted. That's the basic maths of the situation. If we're still in the Championship, I'm not completely convinced, despite what Perslow says, that we have this situation underhand. And the remedies, as we've hinted at, are not very conducive in terms of what kind of team we're going to have next season, because obviously some of the better players will potentially disappear. Anything to add, gentlemen?
It just makes it difficult to attract players to come down from the Premier League on loan, or just the general footballing operation becomes a very different landscape.
Well, we still won't really have money to buy a proper team, will we? We'll have to be very smart.
Saying that, we've managed to spend €7 million on a goalkeeper and €5 million on a right back that no one's seen yet.
Yeah, so. I never quite got that on the Kalinic front. Why they went?
That seems like quite a large amount of money for a goalkeeper at this level.
Unless they've structured the payment some. I don't know how they've done that. Right, next question. Yo, Nason, if, for the sake of argument, we do get promoted, which of the loans would you like to see signed permanently? Dan Rogers.
As unlikely, Tammy, I'd go Tammy Abraham. As unlikely as it might be, I think he's got goals in him.
I would go Mings straight away. First choice,
Mings would be my first choice, then Abraham, then probably Tuanzebe.
I do like Tuanzebe. He's a very, very all-round.
It looks like we're going to get Hawes. We've got the option to buy Hawes anyway, haven't we? So I think he'll be staying.
We've got the option to buy Hawes.
That's going to be a good season, isn't it?
Once you get in the Premier League, you've got the option to buy Hawes.
Filthy football.
Oh dear God.
Slags Chris, up front.
Chris Budd's mind. You just don't want to get involved.
I just put my Tim Sherwood hat on for a minute.
You have got that Tim Sherwood mode, shall we say, that you can slip into every so often.
It's my market trader mentality, Dave.
I did want to ask you, actually, in the last podcast that covered the Blackburn game, what are you thinking about El Ghazi?
I think
there's something there.
I like him.
There's definitely a good player there. He just blows a little bit hot and cold. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if it's he has to have a lot of ball during the game.
Yeah. I think you need some whores.
Yeah. Don't
he blows hot and cold. He needs a lot of ball.
It's
like innuendo bingo.
I think he needs to get onto Grindr from that description that you've just said there.
No, I like him. I think that the Blackburn game especially, he did a lot of work tracking back, to be fair to him.
Yeah, that's definitely come into his game in the last few weeks.
I can't remember what game it was, but I remember Smith very publicly saying he'd given him a bit of a bollocking.
Yeah.
I think he's probably more effective in the final third than Green, to be fair. While he hasn't got the sort of the turn of pace, I think his actual delivery is better.
Because I think he's learning that you've got to be a bit more, let's say, on the run and when you're off the ball than, let's say, Dutch and French football that he's experienced so far. Yeah. So he's got to be a bit more active off the ball, which I think he's getting there. And he wants the ball, to be fair.
El Ghazi's got something. He's got that. He's got a trick in him, hasn't he? And he's got that an element of him. He's not very predictable in what he's going to do. And
he
can't quite put your finger on it, actually, quite why you might.
But to be fair to him, you put him in the penalty area, and whenever you've put him in a good position, he's actually seemed quite clinical.
He does scare teams so as well, far. I think.
Yeah, he's got end product.
He runs at people, doesn't he? He just gets his head down and goes.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes he doesn't almost live up to his ability at times, if you know what I mean.
No. You do get that with that sort of wingers, don't you?
You'd back him in certain situations and he's like, actually, you've got that in you to, you know, get past this chap or whatever.
I nearly said he's got the ability to get in behind people, but we've got enough innuendos for the evening.
Yeah, I think we'll end there on El Ghazi. But definitely, I think Mings, Abraham, yeah, we don't know what's happening there. If you said one more lone season for Abraham at Villa in the Premier League, then I'd be interested to see how he does in this Villa team for sure. But I think in terms of if you want to build something, Mings is essential because that just ticks the box straight away. You've got somebody that you know that's rock solid and he's a class above.
I mean, he's one of the first names on your team sheet now.
Yeah, I was saying to a Liverpool fan that if we don't get promoted, you should go in and get Mings and...
I imagine him and Van Dijk.
Yeah, exactly. Then you'll be sorted for a proper title chase if you fuck up this season. Right, Pat Singleton asks, is Steer going to be our number one next season? Well, we've been discussing this goalkeeper situation in the last two podcasts, so make sure you listen to them in terms of the trident of goalkeeper Villa options. As I said in the last show, I'm not putting all my money on Steer at the moment. I think he's got enough to steer us into the playoffs and the test.
Nice pun.
Oh, it was actually. I didn't even think about that. I wasn't even thinking about that. But from there on in, he will be tested and potentially in the final. And I don't know. I don't think they would go with him in the Premier League for starters.
The first thing that would come to my mind is if you're getting the best part of 100 million for finishing bottom in that league, I'd just go and get Jack Butland from Stoke and say, do you want to play back in the Premier League?
Yeah. But really, could Villa buy another goalkeeper? That it'll be like,
why not?
We've switched from right backs to goalkeepers in terms of our addiction.
Well, if we're getting rid of Nyland anyway.
Yeah. Well, we've written Nyland off already. Right, well, we'll see. I'm not convinced he'll be number one next season, but he's still got... Yeah. The shirt's his at the moment, and obviously you can prove that he should stay as the number one, but we'll see what happens. O-S-A-V. O.S.A.V. That's an Instagram name. When Gary Gardner comes back... Oh, he's not coming back, is he? When Gary Gardner comes back, should we sell him to Blues or somewhere else? Have Blues got any money?
Doubt it. It's staggering when you think that someone couldn't afford Gary Gardner.
Yeah.
Or somewhere else sounds like that he could be working, I don't know, on the checkout somewhere. Or
he could work in a treatment centre. Like he'd probably make a good sports physio, wouldn't he? Spend so much time on the treatment table, he probably knows it inside out.
I don't really follow the Blues, and obviously he wasn't playing when we played them, but he seems to be touted around as one of their star players at the moment.
Yeah, he's been their best player.
Yeah.
Everyone said in the derby they really missed him. If you're going to let him go to Blues, though, just make sure he does a video saying that Villa are his boyhood club.
Well, if we get promoted, I really don't care.
I mean, I haven't cared about him even before we got relegated. He was kind of... He's been at the club so long and he's been written off for, what, five seasons
at least? He had some great chances. If he was going to make it, he had chances to do it when we were at the bare bones in terms of talent in the midfield. So he had a chance and he never had that bite he didn't have that edge.
He's too nice.
Yeah, too nice.
He's not as good as his brother either, and it takes me, you know, I don't say that with with any great love to the other Gardner really, but I don't think he's nearly as good as we've been made out to believe. I think he had some bad injuries when he was younger, but he's never looked like... He's never looked good enough. Is it any more complicated than that? I don't think so.
Right, moving on. Dylan Thomas. I thought he was dead, Dylan Thomas. Dylan Thomas Childs. Not related to the poet, is he? Who gets dropped? This is the question. Who gets dropped when Axel and Chester are both fit?
No one.
Unfortunately, we've upgraded our defence since those boys were fit. So.
And that's kind of a joke, but true as they, you know, Chester, on merit, is not a better footballer with the ball at his feet than Hawes or Mings. They're both better athletes. It's kind of like they are.
Well,
like,
Chester's not too leader, bad but... on the ball. Hawes is a bit too left-footed, I would say that.
I wonder whether there could be some consideration for putting Chester alongside Mings in the sense that Chester looked far more comfortable alongside a Terry. I know a Terry and a Mings are very different.
A left-footed player.
But I do wonder whether... I mean, Axel's got the ability to play quite naturally across the defence and in front of it.
Because we've got two left foot centre backs, have we not? Mm-hmm.
We have at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that you start to look at. But then, you know, they've both done pretty well as it is. And then as of the other question mark, if Taylor was still flaking around, then I think Axel would have been potentially in the next game, if not the Blackburn game. But Taylor's stepped up to the plate, so there's not really a problem there. And although Hawes, I mean, for a big lad, he was like a bit of a Wilfred Baumer. I said that quite early when people were slagging off Hawes and saying it was shit. But I was saying, look, the bulk of him, you just remind me of him when he goes forward. But I think he's actually technically pretty good on the ball.
Very good player.
I watched some highlights clip of just him and some of his passing. It was like, wow, this guy's like, this isn't like, he's better than Wilfred, because he was a bit Neanderthal-ish, but
he was a bit of a thug, wasn't he, really?
The criticism and a half, that is, Jesus.
I mean, some people call him a legend, but I liked him because he was a bit of a thug and he was tough. Wasn't your typical Dutch player, was he?
I remember Baumer's debut at Upton Park, and I think we got thumped 4-0. I just remember, you know, that old ground, you could also have like eye contact quite close up to the players. I remember how lost you think, oh my God, I've joined Aston Villa. Dutch international as he was then. But as you say, he did go on to be, we mentioned earlier, not like a legend status, but sort of quite fan favourite that, he was a good honest pro, wasn't he? He was hard as nails.
Did we really have him at left back and Melberg at right back in some games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were hardly like the archetypal, what's known as what a fullback should be in the Pep Guardiola book of coaching. We limited ourselves to tech. That's why we struggled to break teams down at Villa Park under O'Neill, because we had Neanderthal.
We were slow.
Fullbacks, yeah. They weren't beating the last man. They weren't getting down the flanks. But House, he's got an array of tricks and skills, and, you know, he can get down the byline as well.
He's got a good delivery.
Yeah, very good delivery, actually, yeah.
We've got options galore.
That's where Axel or Chester comes in. If I think that's the first decision Smith goes, does he want the balance of a right and left-footed centre-back? And if that is the case, then I think House stays in the team, but he'll go over to left-back. But yeah, Chester, be interesting to see what happens there. The injury has not come at a good time. And if he didn't get that injury, then I don't think one of either Mings or House would have turned up at Villa. Right, last question. Liam Sedge 7 asks, fave Villa song?
Boom, 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 let me hear you say Savo.
Savo!
There we go, settled that. I think we need to turn the question and say it's worst Villa songs. I prefer...
Oh, okay. I think... He's got no air, but we don't care. Stevie Stone. That was pretty shocking.
Ole, 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 ole. Alan, right.
Did Collymore ever have a song?
Yeah, what was Collymore's song? I can't remember.
Oh, Stanley.
Collymore. Yeah, that was it. But yeah, it's funny.
Someone tweet him. We'll ask him.
Who let the dogs out? No, it wasn't that.
Stan Collymore was playing in a pair of £2,000 boots. Cinderella Stan was certainly at the ball, but he then lost it.
It's funny how some old former players' songs, and I'm not just talking about the legends, but some ex-players' songs occasionally get an outing, but that Savo one doesn't, and that's a great shame, because that was... I'd like to hear that, the Savo one, the Dwight York one, I'd like to hear occasionally.
And you don't hear very much of Puts the Ball in the Air... For Tony Cascarino. You never hear that anymore, do you?
It's Graham Taylor buying him cost us the title that time. I'm adamant. They should have just kept with Ian Olney. In Ian Olney, we trust.
you can't put this in the podcast, but I went on a stag do with Ian Olney earlier this year.
Did you? Why didn't you fucking say that?
It doesn't really come up. Ian Olney doesn't come up very often.
I've mentioned him on this podcast before.
Damn, not for want of trying.
I've always championed Olney because we didn't have a centre forward back in those days. We relied on Platt's goals, but Olney could hold the ball and he was technically really good. Yeah. And Graham Taylor didn't really have the faith in him because he was only a youngster. And then he got Cascarino in and it was just like route one motherfucker. Yeah. What did Olney have to say about shit?
I can't possibly say while the record ticking.
Do it.
I've turned it off, didn't you see? Anyway, we need to round off the show now because we need to go and talk about Ian Olney off air. So until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.